Whether we believe in them or not, we're all familiar with the concept of personal auras, the energy that an individual radiates. But did you know that brands also have auras? Today, I'll tell you about the auras of some of my favorite brands and how you can create an aura around yours.
Welcome to Brand for Good, the show for purpose-driven leaders who want to build timeless brands and create sustainable impact. I'm Lorraine Sugart, former PR and marketing executive turned founder of the disruptive agency Prosper for Purpose. I've worked with some of the world's most beloved brands, and I'm here to help you elevate your brand identity, visibility, influence, and impact. Are you ready to brand for good? Let's go.
Welcome back to Brand for Good, where we talk about how to build peerless, profitable brands on purpose. Today, I want to talk about brand aura. So the general definition of an aura, that it is the distinctive atmosphere surrounding a given source. We're going to say that a brand aura is the energy that your brand radiates, what we might call its glow. This determines how your brand is perceived by people, basically through their core reaction, how they feel when they experience it. So it's not an experience that we can map out. It's that feeling that they get. That is the aura of your brand. Your brand aura begins to emerge naturally at about the 3-year mark in your business, but you want to consider it at every stage. So, for example, if you're in an industry related to finances or financial growth, you probably want your aura to be one around trust and intelligence. If you're in the creative world, you may want your aura to be one of high energy and passion. So think about what energy you want ascribed to your brand. What feelings do you hope to elicit? The qualities of your aura will ultimately attract clients who either share or aspire to similar energies. So before we go any further, let me just break it down by giving you a few examples from my favorite brands. Let's start with a computer I use. From the first Mac I ever saw, which was a big one, let's just tell it like it is and date myself, I aspired to own one. I thought they were just the coolest things. And I just felt from the beginning that a Mac had something special to offer. I felt that way for a long time before I could actually afford to buy a Mac. But when I left corporate and started my own business, I decided to buy one to celebrate a great first year. Mac appeals to creatives and those who aspire to be. Owning a Mac computer is not a corporate feeling. It's not the thing that you were using in your office job. It's a bit of a rebel. And let's not forget about the iPhone that disrupted the consumer market from the moment it debuted. It made the cell phone a need to have, and Apple users loved from the very beginning how Apple products integrated. So Apple's aura is one of coolness, creativity, and connection, not to mention intuitive technology. And so I say intuitive because when the iPhone came out, not only was it fun to use, but people felt it was intuitive, that it kind of moved the way their brain did. Now, not everyone, but a lot of creatives did. And they moved to Apple. And then other people that liked what the brand stood for and liked the kind of people that were using Macs and Apple iPhones were moving towards that brand as well. So next, let's look at Jeep. So I've owned 2 Jeeps. And I love that this company projects toughness, a love for the outdoors, and fun. Now, most Jeeps cost as much as some luxury car brands, But Jeep's brand aura is just the opposite of luxury. It's a come as you are and bring the muddy dogs kind of thing. Jeep represents freedom and adventure. The third brand I'll mention is Coca-Cola. And so while I no longer indulge in my former daily ritual of Diet Coke and peanut M&Ms every afternoon, when I'm in a restaurant, I will drink water rather than Pepsi products. Sorry, Pepsi. I know a lot of people love you. I'm just not one. So why is that? My dad drank Coke and his dad drank Coke, and it was the original. It was the classic choice. And from the commercials from when I was a little kid to growing up, I just always kind of aligned with that classic traditional passed down from generation to generation image and feeling that Coke projected. And to me, it just tastes better. And who knows if that's because of the tradition or it just is. Okay, so three different examples. And I believe by now you're understanding brand aura. It's not something that has to make sense. It's just the feelings that the brand evokes in its audience. It's about image. And even more, it's again about the reactional feelings that just kind of sense. And when I say feeling, it's not only emotional feelings, it's also, you know, it elicits sometimes kind of that physical response. It calls to your audience's self-identity and their aspiration and their need to belong. And these are such fundamental things. Self-identity, who they are, how they see themselves, aspiration, how they want to be seen and how they want to feel about themselves, and that need to belong, which is in all of us. So now that we know how primal these feelings are and what the brand aura is, how do you glow up your brand aura? Much of everything I do and teach about branding comes back to purpose. If you want to project an aura, you need to focus on your brand position in the market, your purpose or reason for being, your place, your uniqueness, the specific people that you want to serve, what you believe, how you convey these facets and more through your copy, your photography, and all the media you put in the world contributes to the aura that you create. So aura is part of your brand experience. Again, it's where the energy that you're sharing that you want to emanate from your brand is felt by your audience and draws them in. So if you want to create a stronger aura around your brand, here are a few things to consider. One, what is your unique factor? What makes your business so very special? How do people feel and react when they encounter it? So think about Apple's creativity and how people reacted to the launch of the iPhone or the portable Macs like the MacBook Air. Think about Jeep's spirit of adventure or Coke as the classic choice. What each of these brands did was they created a community. They attracted people who saw their own identity aligning with each of these brands, and sometimes aspirationally wanting to align with these brands. And they connected with one another. So a good example of that is the duck, the whole duck, duck, Jeep. If you don't know what that is, you can look it up. You can search the hashtag duck, duck, Jeep. But basically, Jeep owners not only do the peace sign when they see each other, but they also leave random little, almost like children's bath toys on other Jeeps. So we've had our dashboard lined up with unicorns and ducks and all kinds of other little animals, oftentimes with the hashtag written on the bottom by the person that left them, Duck Duck Jeep. And they're surprises, but this is an example of the power of a brand to create an energy, an aura that people want to be part of and then actually take over and make their own. And Jeep's community has built largely independently from what the brand has continued to evolve and do. It just reached that tipping point where people brought different aspects of the brand to life. So not all of us can do that, but study these brands and what they've created and think about what you can learn from them. Okay, so number two is once you get your unique factor, you want to create content and media that brings that unique factor to life, telling stories. So again, unfortunately, of the three that I randomly chose, now that I'm kind of breaking this down, Jeep is the only one that really lends itself for easy examples, but there are lots of other ones like Dove soap. That's another, I've used Dove from the time I was a little girl. They've done the whole Dove campaigns around being compassionate and caring and accepting women for who they are, and that women are beautiful in every size and shape. All of that is just like they've done that through storytelling. They've achieved that through experiments and stories of women that aren't like these are the users of Dove, but this is the personality and the aura of our brand. And we're bringing you stories because they align with what we stand for. So that's a really good example. Next is to make it personal. So we're going to see branding and content have to get more personal because people are looking for connection. People are looking to belong to something that's greater than them, even with their choices of products and services. So project that energy so that people can feel it. To do this, you can include customer testimonials and even user-generated content. So it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to get personal. It means your brand needs to be personal. And this can be through the people that you work with or who use your services and products. Next is a big one, and I will be doing an upcoming episode on this, a little teaser, because Prosper is going to, well, I'll talk about that in a minute. Brand experience often starts at your front window to your business, which for most businesses is their website. Okay, so websites are going in one of two directions right now. There are people who either are stripping them down to the bare minimum and doing like one-page websites that are copy-driven, not a lot of images, or maybe they're image-driven with just a little bit of copy, but they're very simple. There's not a lot of a whole lot there. It's very direct and almost sparse, minimalistic, okay? Then on the other hand, there's brands that are going for not maximalism, but more of a user experience. I think of it like I invite you into my home, you're going to feel my style. There's a little bit of old world stuff going on. Our house was built in 1929, so it's going on 100 years old. There's some heaviness, heavy wood, thick plush carpets, a velvet sofa. It feels really comfortable. You feel when you come in my home that I'm meeting you at the door and wrapping you in a blanket. At least that's what I'm going for. So with your brand, with your website, the other direction is that people are coming in and you're enveloping them in this user experience where they really get a sense of all the elements of your brand. It's almost like a tactile experience. So this is through images and motion and video and really, really powerful copy. And this is something that I think everyone should be looking at this year, even if you're not ready to redo your website. What is your website good at? What is your website not doing too well? Which direction do you lean? And how could you do it better? If you have data, and everyone should have Google Analytics, how are people engaging with your website? If you have a high bounce rate, if people are landing on your page and leaving without going anywhere else, unless you have a one-page website, high bounce rate is not a good thing. So you want to think about that. What is your website doing to support this aura that you want to project? And then finally, make sure that anyone who represents your brand out in the world is properly equipped and committed to your purpose and position, especially employees, because they're your ambassadors. They're out in the world and they're talking about you. And so when you hire employees, what kind of onboarding training do you give them? Do you talk about culture? Do you share how you chose your values and what you stand for and what your client experience is meant to be? These are really important because your power to project your brand is limited. So you want to help equip others, those who work for you, those who work with you, people in the community, your referral partners. Make sure that they understand what you're going for, all the things that make it up, and the energy that you want to project and how you want to really be seen in the market. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Brand for Good and that you feel like you have a different understanding of auras and what they can mean for your brand. Next week, I'll be diving into what Prosper for Purpose is actually working on right now, which is basically tearing our brand apart down to the studs and restructuring in a way that feels easy and fun. See you next week.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Brand for Good show. If you like what you heard, please hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode and leave a review so other purpose-driven leaders can find this valuable content. To learn more about building a brand for good, please visit prosperforpurpose.com for more resources and information on all the ways you can work with us.